Well, this morning, I want to share with you a couple of things out of the gospel reading for today, and it will dovetail nicely and continue nicely from what you heard from Christy Foldenauer over the past couple of weeks, and it's also our stewardship sermon. I mean, you know, it's that time of year where we think about next year and think about stewardship. So I want to underline a couple of things with you here, and the first one is this. Some of you may have noticed over some past years and past churches that perhaps were large churches that you were part of or other ministries, that other people besides the presiding priest over communion would distribute communion. There might be several stations in places. Now that practice comes from this gospel. Jesus blessed the bread, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and they gave it to the people. And here sometimes we've done the same thing. And some of you have distributed the bread while I played with the band or whatever I was doing. I'm wandering around. I don't know, but you did it. And it comes from this gospel, that practice. And it's been in the church for a long time. Now, there are other aspects of this miracle, of course, that we could spend a lot of time on. But today, I'm going to look at one of the central aspects of this miracle, that the practice of other members distributing the bread of communion points to. Followers of Jesus, which is you and me, we give to others what Jesus gives to us. That's the foundation of ministry. We give to others what Jesus gives to us. Nobody gives just from their own, what they have, their own gifts, their own style, whatever it is. Nobody gives of their own and calls it Christian ministry, although some may, but it's not. What is Christian ministry is all comes from Jesus. Jesus gives to you something, and you give that away. That's why it can keep flowing. That's why it can never stop. And then it continues on. The ones that we give to, then they give to others. Jesus has given to them through us, and then they give to others. And that's how the thing keeps rolling right along. Any ministry, what you do or I do, is all giving to others what Jesus gives to us. Now, we're going to see how that worked for the 12 here in this story. And we'll see how it directly works for us today, how you and I would practice that. Because that is what the church does. Giving to others what Jesus gives to us. What you see today in this miracle is actually the core of how you follow Jesus and how St. Francis grows. So I hope you can see right away, this is not just an interesting idea. This is not something we look at the Gospels and say, oh, hey, what about that? This is the core of how you grow personally and how St. Francis grows. It's the core of how ministry spreads and the gospel spreads. So I'm hoping you're finding this more than interesting. This is what we take up. This is what we do. And this is how we live. Now, here, let's take a look at the situation here. And it can kind of slip past us a little bit. This crowd is actually, at a minimum, 10,000 people, and probably more than that, up to 20,000 people. Now, it says there's 5,000 men, plus women and children. Well, their 5,000 was not the maximum. So there's, who knows, 10, 15, 20,000 people out there in the desert listening to Jesus all day. The entire day, they're listening to Jesus. Now, I'm sure that was a very good thing. But the disciples were correct, and they go to Jesus, and they say, this is a desolate place, and the day is over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages to buy food for themselves. Now, they were rightly concerned about the crowd. And they wanted to see them well taken care of. However, I would like to point out that for 20,000 people to show up at one or two or maybe three small desert villages that are around there, I'm not sure there's going to be enough food. And also, it's the end of the day, so everyone who already lived in the village probably already ate, dinner was over, and there may not have been any food left anyway. So Jesus tells them what is really the only recourse. Well, I guess there's two. One recourse is this. You give them something to eat. The other recourse is everybody goes hungry. But it wasn't the case. That wasn't the case. So, you know, there's the familiar activity. They gather up the loaves and the fish, and Jesus blesses them and breaks them, gives them to the disciples, and the disciples then distribute them. Now, it's very interesting, the response of the disciples, where they're saying to Jesus, well, you know, what do you mean we give them something to eat? We don't have anything. How often have you heard someone in a church, this church or any church, say something like this? We really can't reach out to the community because we don't have enough for ourselves. How many times have you heard someone say in a church, we've got to take care of everyone that we have now and make sure nothing happens and nothing gets lost before we do anything new or anything that attracts anybody else? You don't have to say, you don't have to come up with an answer, but it's been said and it's been thought and it's been held on to and it's been a conviction of some. And I want you to know, you're in good company because the 12 apostles said the same thing. If you ever thought that, that's... you're following those 12. Now, Jesus responded to them. And his response was not what we usually think it is. Because, you know, if somebody says, you know, in the church, well, we can't do that. We don't have enough. Then those people who think we can do that will think in one way or another, well, you just don't have enough faith. Your faith is way too small. And you kind of get, you know, upbraided for such thoughts. But I want you to notice that Jesus didn't do that. I mean, he knows their faith is too small. But he did not punish them for having small faith. Maybe you've been punished for having small faith. Maybe somebody started pressing the guilt buttons for you way too hard. Maybe at some point along the way, in a church that you were in, I mean, hopefully not this one, but it could have been, where there was a certain need and you just got pressed until you responded. And you might have been thinking, well, we don't have enough, or I don't have enough. It's not going to work. And if your guilt buttons were pressed, or you were made to feel as if you were not good enough because your faith is not big enough, you were sinned against. And I want to encourage you to take the power of the Holy Spirit of God today and release that with forgiveness towards whoever did that to you. Because Jesus does not do that. I want you to notice that Jesus talked with them compassionately. He reacts to us with compassion as he did to the 12. He did not punish them for their small faith. He did not say, all right, you guys, over there about a mile and pray and come back when you're ready. Nothing like that. He said, well, what do you have? He was compassionate. He was open. Still a bit challenging, but open. Whenever your faith is small, which as you follow Jesus, that's going to be often. That's going to be very often. Whenever your faith is small, Jesus will build it with compassion. When you are anxious, Jesus will speak peace. When you are hurting, Jesus will speak healing. When you are without, he will bring provision, as he did in the miracle of feeding the 5,000 here. He's not going to say to you, straighten up. Don't you remember what you were taught? How long have you been here? None of that's going to happen. It's whatever is going on inside you. Jesus will speak what you need for that. Okay, I want to stop right here for a minute and just administer a brief pop quiz. Who gave the food to the 5,000? The 12, that's right. All of you, go to the head of the class. Absolutely right. We don't see Jesus breaking the bread and then carrying it around and going to all the 5,000 himself while the 12 watched. He gave it to them and they gave it. And I don't know, how it's not reported, but I just wonder, did that bread multiply in the hands of the 12 as they went around passing it out? I would think so. That's what's going to happen with you and me. When Jesus gives you something and you share it with others as he prompts you to do it, it will multiply. It won't run out. It'll be part of a stream that flows forever. When our faith is small, Jesus will give to us not only what we need, but what others need as well. What others might need through us, that he wants to give through us. We did not have to come up with plans or whatever it is to help others. He gives us what we need to help others. We follow Jesus, so we give to others what he gives to us. The Spirit of God is going to be giving to you and me dreams about ministry. And as we take those up, they will multiply in our hands to other people. That's how the Christian faith works. That's how a Christian life is lived. It begins with us saying, yes, Jesus is God. Jesus is my Savior. But then it goes into the way we live, receiving from him and then giving it away. Now, this works in two places that I want to point out today. And as I mentioned earlier, it's the Stewardship Sunday. It works with our giving, our financial giving as well. And this is what I've been describing over the years about our financial giving, which has been quite wonderful, quite generous. You are just wonderful, faithful people with this. And I want to encourage you to keep going in the way that we've been doing it. And that is, spend time with Jesus and ask Jesus, what do you want me to give as my annual giving at St. Francis? How do you want me to do this? What do you want me to pledge? You know, is it yearly? Is it monthly? Is it weekly? How do you want me to do it? And go with that. It's important to keep in mind, the church belongs to Jesus. And he will be the one who says, take this step. Go in this way. And that is true for our finances as well as anything else. So if you would spend time with Jesus, give what Jesus asked you to give, and then as you're willing to write a pledge for that so that the vestry committee can plan. Very helpful for them to plan. And if you have to change your pledge, you can. The God Squad will not be sent to your house because you had to change your pledge. Or anybody else. You just change it. Sorry. If you can't meet your pledge because something changed, we're still not going to send the God Squad to your house. It's just not going to happen. It's what Jesus asks you to give that you give. And he builds the church. This also happens in ministry. Jesus is the source of all ministry. He gives you ministry as well as me. He gives each of us ministry. If you're following Jesus, he gives you ministry to do. And it doesn't mean that you put on a clerical collar maybe and stand up front and try to make sense out of the scriptures or whatever it is we're doing right now. It means that he gives you something and you give it away, so that he can give you something else and you give it away, so that that will keep on going. Remember, ministry is you giving to others what Jesus gives to you. And that's why we're putting something else on the pledge card this year. And we're looking for your answer to this question. If the Spirit of God empowered you to do anything with St. Francis, what would it be? Spend some time with Jesus about that. Now, I want to be as clear as possible. The question is not, if the Spirit of God were to empower the vicar to do anything for St. Francis, what would it be? No, it's you. Or the vestry. Or the bishop. Or whoever. It's you. If the Spirit of God were to empower you to do anything with St. Francis, what would it be? Now, if that doesn't come to mind right away, if that takes a while, if that's into next year or the year after that or sometime, or whatever the case may be, that's just fine. But if it's there now, put it on the pledge card. Because we're going to build into the future with the answers to those questions and the financial pledges that we have. Now there's one other part on the foundation of that question. If the Spirit of God would empower you to do anything with St. Francis, what would it be? What's under that? We are the church that we are today. And the answer to that question, when we live it out, makes us the best possible church that we are today. When you start catching what the Spirit of God is asking you to do, and we support each other in that, that is the most powerful, rich church that we could be today. And that's who we are today. It keeps us moving in the path that Jesus has had us on for years now, and keeps us moving into what he desires for us to become. But in between where we've been and where we're going is who we are right now, today. Now, I'll tell you a little secret about me. Maybe you figured it out. I prefer that we all be challenged with that than all excited about everything. I prefer, personally, because I think the Spirit of God asks me to be this way. I prefer that we are responding to the presence of the Spirit of God to be who God wants us to be right now than all kinds of pepped up about whatever it might be. Because who we are today is the church Jesus loves, the church Jesus paid for, and the church Jesus empowers. I'll take that first above everything else every time. I want to encourage you to do the same thing. So if you would ask the Lord, what do you want me to give financially? And what do you want to empower me to do with St. Francis? Things will happen that we've yet to imagine. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you're doing among us. And we ask that even now, you would fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to be the church you are calling us to be at this moment, in this place, for this community. You would empower us today, even now, and you would empower us as we go into this day and into the weeks and months and years to come, to be exactly who you call us to be. And we ask that today for the glory of your name. Amen.